Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. We are live for the first time in about over a month or so. I apologize, but we have to blame Sean Black for that, of course. Welcome to another edition of The Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Excuse me. It's been a while. I am your host, with the most. Yes, I'm still here. They cannot impeach my black ass. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, we finally came back from Washington, D.C. He's the reason why we missed the show for over a month. We were too busy at the hearings, eating popcorn, yelling out, "Dump Trump." He is.
Good Lord. Sean Black in the building, finally, once again. Yes, I'm here.
What? What? But you could not do the show the last couple of weeks because you were too busy in D.C. at the hearings. It's okay. We know how much you and Trump get along together. You're like brothers.
Right. I try to stay as far away from that area as humanly possible with all of the craziness that goes on in government right now. I think the last thing anybody wants to see is your government in motion. So stay as far away from that as possible.
And last but not least, I'm surprised she called in because right now she should be in the kitchen preparing for our Thanksgiving meal, ladies and gentlemen. This is... Don't start, Sean Black. Don't you dare start.
What would you like me to make you, Hot Rod? Dog food snacks? What?
Wow. Whoa. You need me.
Alpo,
you
need
me.
Straight to the Hot Rod.
No, I'm just playing. I'll get you some Popeye's chicken.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, gosh.
Hey. You know what? Let's behave. Let's get started with the show. We fight later on. What else? Okay, let's
How's
get right to it.
How's everybody doing? How about that?
I don't care about that.
That's the Hot Rod. That's how I know he's doing fine. He doesn't care about anything.
No. But, okay, let's get right to it. There's a lot to talk about, so first to Sean Black.
Aren't you forgetting something? For people to call up the show, if they want to call up and know who they get in contact with us?
No, not tonight. I'm not in the mood to fight with anybody. I got two people to fight already.
What have you been drinking tonight?
Okay, 347-989-8402. 347-989-8402. Sean Bass, Lady D, let's get ready to piss some people off. Yeah. So, Sean Black, yesterday, your boy, your former mayor, Michael Bloomberg, made the quote-unquote business announcement and to throw his hat into the race. Now, the topic we want to talk about last week, if you want to throw into it, he was at a church nearby, not too far from where I live, and he apologized in a black church about his stop and frisk policy that he stated years ago that caused a lot of drama. So, Sean Black, I know how you feel about Bloomberg, but let's tell the rest of the world, how do you feel about Mayor Bloomberg, and do you think it will make a difference in the Democratic Party race?
Well, before I launch into him, I think people that don't really know about Michael Bloomberg and what his platform is, he is a liberal progressive. Although he ran as a Republican, he'd been, for the most part, a lifelong Democrat. When he ran for mayor in New York City, he ran twice as a Republican, and then he ran as an independent a third time. The reason why I say a third time, for those that don't really realize, you're only allowed by law to run a maximum of two times or be elected in consecutive terms, 8 years, and then you have to keep it moving. But what Bloomberg did was get himself a third term by going through the court system and changing that law so that he could run a third time as an independent. He won the election, And then he closed the loophole up right after he won the election for the third time. So that's where a lot of my disdain goes to. But I digress. Bloomberg is, as I said before, he is a progressive. He is one of those people that is into the climate, as far as climate change, changing climate. He's against a lot of guns, trying to get that taken care of. So these are the kinds of things he's into as far as his platform goes, and that's part of it. But the other thing is, and as you hit on it, Hot Rod, and this is something that has been a sore spot for a lot of people that have lived in the New York area, know about
for mostly blacks and Latinos, mostly
blacks and Latinos, Hispanics, minorities in the New York City area, which was a way of having police officers who thought there was some kind of issue, was to quote unquote stop and frisk anyone that actually looked suspicious, or they had in their mind an idea to actually stop and frisk. And this was something that went into effect in 2003. Now, in those 12 years, those 3 terms that Bloomberg was in office, over 2.5 million incidents of stop and frisk targets happened. Less than 2% of those stop and frisk incidents produced anybody with any weapons, which was what was supposed to be the reasoning behind stop and frisk, was to stop, to make sure that there were no weapons, there were no drugs, lead to arrests, to keep the streets clean. But overwhelmingly, the people that were caught in stop and frisk were African Americans and were Hispanics. And this caused a great deal of contention and angst among people living in the city, knowing what the entire instance, or what it was about. And then we now fast forward after all of this, and we just stated before, Bloomberg has now put his hat in the ring for president. And the first thing that he did, which was a week ago, go into the Christian Cultural Center, which is a church in Brooklyn. And he went and addressed African Americans in there and said, I was wrong about stop and frisk, and I didn't know it was going to cause so many problems, so many issues, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, we know now he did his paperwork for becoming the next Democratic person, or the next contestant to try to run for president of the United States on the Democratic side. And this is where we are right now.
Thank you for that 2 hours backstory, but you never answered the question.
I had to give you the dissertation before you can now jump into it. So go right on ahead.
Do you think it will make a difference in the race overall?
I think it'll be a disruptor. I think most people, as we've seen a lot of the Democrats that are actually running, like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, and a lot of others have basically stated that they think that Bloomberg is running to buy an election, as opposed to a lot of other things. We know most people look at Donald Trump and on his platform, how he ran, where he had lots of obviously money and backing behind him. He had lots of donors, but also at the same time, he didn't need to have a lot of media press to, you know, quote unquote, pay for, because he got a lot of free media coverage because of the things that he said on the news that was covered. Bloomberg actually has his own money, and I believe he's sitting on at least $15 billion or whatever the insane amount of money that he makes. He has his own television network for those that don't know. And for those that follow in the business world, Bloomberg Television was created by Michael Bloomberg and his business. So he has that behind him. Is he going to make a difference in the race? Maybe. Maybe in debating. Maybe he can say something about it. But I have a friend of mine who actually really can't stand Michael Bloomberg and actually thinks that he's just the complete polar opposite of Trump, just with money. The same size of the same person, just a different coin.
Okay. Two-Face. But Lady T, Do you care about Wilbur being in the race or just another clown in the act, in the circus act?
I actually do. I'm looking a little bit past it on different levels. First of all, Michael Bloomberg is actually experiencing politics, whereas Trump really isn't. So we're talking about somebody who worked their way up. Do I agree with what he did with Stop and Frisk? Of course not. Of course I don't agree with that. Do I think his apology is a little bit too late? Oh, yeah, it certainly is. But at the same token, it's like everybody keeps saying, okay, the black vote doesn't count and keeps persuading black people not to vote, yet all of these politicians are always digging for the black vote. So which is it? Does it count or doesn't it? Because I really think it does. So the ignorance needs to stop somewhere. As far as saying he's the complete opposite and so forth, right about now with this whole investigation with Biden to me was the front runner. Right now it's not looking too good. Kamala, I don't believe anything that comes out her mouth. You have Elizabeth Warren, I think, is his name Buttigieg?
I believe he's the one that's kind of in front right now.
Yeah, but nobody's really going to put someone who's gay in office. Let's be realistic. That time hasn't come yet. Because everybody still
has to connect with the black voter, too, like you were saying.
Well, that's my point, but this is what I'm saying. It keeps on saying black vote, black vote, black vote. Obviously, the black vote does matter. So you guys need to really wake up when you really say, oh, I don't want to go vote. Because guess what will happen? Let's say if it is a Bloomberg Trump, you're going to hear people say, oh, I'm not voting for Bloomberg because of the whole thing with Stop and Frisk. Yeah. And then they're going to say, what are you going to punch, the Trump ticket? So what are we going to have? Another – it's going to look like, to me, another campaign as far as with Hillary and stuff where a lot of my friends from Haiti was like, oh, I'm not voting because of Clinton and what they did with Haiti and this, that. I'm like, but there's an independent person that you could click on. Like, what's the problem? I think we really need to get educated on whose vote really matters because, trust me, it is the black vote.
It's a black vote, but what about – I'm sure you heard stories about sabotage, like in Atlanta or whatever, where the voting system is really messed up on the machines.
Okay, we can keep on singing that all we want. We can keep on singing that all we want. It was states that even did the hand counting, and they got it accurate. So let's stop. And when we keep on talking about mistakes that the person made in the past, you better think about, do you want another 4 years of this nonsense that's going on, or what are we looking at? What are we really looking at?
So basically, we're talking about, so if Bloomberg had made this apology, I'm just saying like 4 years ago, would that make a difference?
I don't know if it
would
have made a difference. Would it really have? That's my point. I don't think it still would have. Everyone has made mistakes in life. Are we going to constantly judge a person for that one mistake? If he's sincere about it, then that's different. If he's not, which I wasn't buying it. Because it's a little bit too late and at the wrong time at that.
Yes.
I think it would be
go ahead.
To have it looked at in that scope as just quote-unquote one mistake. I know where you're coming from, but I think for those that don't really understand the impact of Stop and Frisk, for those that are outside the country, Stop and Frisk was adopted by a lot of other places in the country coming from New York. And a lot of other places would use that as a, kind of like a model for some police that would use that as they were going through and trying to, quote-unquote, clean up the streets. We're now in a time right now where we seem to see a lot of this racial angst and bitterness going – bubbling to the surface. We saw it in Baltimore. We saw it in certain other places around the country where we know there were a lot of riots because of cop killings, illegal or quote-unquote illegal searches or things that in other jurisdictions were looked at through the eyes and the lens of minorities being treated like garbage. And going back to times of the 50s and the 60s where African Americans were treated as such. And I think what a lot of people just have to try and are trying to reconcile is that is this crop of candidates Are they looking for the people? Are they going to work for the people? Because a lot of people look at government now, and they look at the people that are running, and they don't trust their government. They don't trust that the process is working for them. And when any candidate comes in, even if they have experience, the American people are having a hard time trusting what their platform is. And most of that is because of how the media has played a hand in the way that a lot of things have gone on. And then social media, on top of that, has made it even worse. So now anybody that comes into this race that thinks they're going to be able to do something, they have to almost be completely perfect. Because if you have any kind of skeletons in the closet, or if you made a racist comment in the past, or anything along those lines, is going to be scrutinized and re-scrutinized and dissected and then disseminated amongst the people that are going to be voting. And that's part of the issue right now that we have. It's a good thing we have at least a year, but it's getting close to, as I used to hear an athlete say, it's getting close to nut-cutting time. Somebody's got to come out of this entire situation before we finally figure out who the real front runner is going to be.
Okay, you guys didn't realize even before Stop and Frisk, there was Stop and Frisk, especially when you speak to people further upstate and down south. So that's just the name that's placed on something that was going on well before Stop and Frisk. And it's really, really sad. We really, really need to look at what we're voting for and what this election means, because guess what? You will be very, very mad if we have another repeat of the next same thing from these 4 years to the next 4 years. You'll be very mad.
And there after that, we will be singing God Bless America.
I don't know what we're going to be singing, because don't forget other countries is looking at us.
But K-Dog, is there anything like that on before I go on to the next topic?
Hey, all I got to say is good evening, everybody. And I'm just going to get straight to the point. Hey, what's up? I'm just going to get to the point about it. Michael Bloomberg jumping into the presidential race. Hey, he just gave them a charge. You know, this should be a very interesting race. With a lot of things that's going on right now in this country, hey, this right here, election 2020, is going to be one hell of a moment. And all I got to say is this, it's up to the American people. Do we want to go back to the same garbage that we had to face 4 years ago, or do we want to move on as a nation? The choice is yours.
Spoken from K-Dog, and his message has been fooled by the hot rod, indeed.
Okay,
on to the next thing. Last week, Sean Black texted me about another school shooting, and he knows when he texted me that, he know my response to it right away, but I don't want to get into that. But I do want to talk about school shootings for a little bit, because Lady T caught my attention last week with a question, and I never forget, like a couple weeks ago when I dropped my son off in school, and I don't know why it came to my mind. I'm just looking at him walking to the school. I'm like, wow. As a parent, I got to worry about my kids, you know, keeping up with the school grades, homework, Uncle Nell's bullying. And I don't know why now I have to worry about active shooters of kids bringing guns and weapons to the school. So to find out a few days later, a kid brought a weapon into the school. We don't know the full details about that, and I'm just assuming it was probably a knife or box cutter, because, you know, those type of weapons are very popular. And like I told the mother, I'm sure he just brought that weapon to the school to, quote, defend himself, maybe being bullied or something, or he just wanted to make a point. But let me keep brought up a question to me last week, which I want to ask the panel over here. Should parents today be concerned about kids' mental health and have a right to bear arms in the classrooms? So, Lady T, I'll start with you first.
What was the question?
The question that you asked, let me look at it. Should parents be concerned about children's mental health and a right to bear arms?
Yes, I think so. All day, every day. They should be concerned with their mental health, especially when they get to a certain age, which is like junior high school. you should be more concerned. Ask them how their day was going. I'm not certain to as what parents do nowadays as far as when kids come home from school, if you ask them how your day went, anything you want to talk about or whatever the case may be. But they honestly really need that, especially at junior high school age when they're transitioning from elementary school and so forth. And that's a crucial age from 6th to 8th grade as far as with kids, especially where the schools are low staffed with guidance counselors and things like that. So.
But why do the child don't want to communicate with the parent? You know, kids, when they get older, they don't want to talk to their parent. Because mommy and daddy don't know what he or she is talking about. Oh, I don't want to be bothered with the parent.
I don't know. Some kids actually know how to because the parents actually know how to communicate with them. So that's just an excuse if you ask me. I don't believe in that. And you might even have, an older sibling or older cousin, someone, or auntie, someone you could go to.
So bottom line,
I don't,
believe
that. Hmm?
There's always someone to talk to about.
Yeah, and if they don't want to talk, and if your kid is not responding and is just silent, maybe you should even be looking into that too.
Yeah, but a point Peter will bring in, like social media. These kids would rather tell their problems to social media for to /friends/strangers compared to talking to their parents.
And why is that? Why would that be? That's my point. When you're seeing all of these signs and things like that, I think as a parent, you should get involved.
Sean?
That's pretty much the job of a parent. I understand.
Right.
We're in a situation now where we have parents that are having kids at very young ages. They themselves are trying to figure out who they are. They're having children when they're young. And then when their children grow up, their children are having children young. And when you're starting to see a parent at 15, 16, 17, and then that parent becomes a grandparent at age 35, 36, 37, it's very difficult for this cycle to end. Now, in dealing with those kinds of issues, having to deal with the parent that doesn't know how to cope emotionally with their own mental health issues, stress, etc., and then trying to bring a child in, knowing that that child is not getting all of the support that it would probably need, because the parent either isn't capable, hasn't handled their own issues and their own mental health and their own self-worth, and then trying to teach that to a child. And then you have other children in schools who maybe, you know, were picked on or bullied because of changes within their own lives. That becomes a bigger issue in and of itself. So there are so many different layers to this problem. Not just the fact that we're hearing about kids bringing guns and then the president talking about we should have people with guns, the teachers should be armed. No, those kinds of things are not solutions. These are like little tic-tacs that you throw at somebody with bad breath. That's not going to solve the problem.
In other words, to solve the gun problem, let's have more guns.
And to solve the problem, and this is basically where we're at. There actually are people that think that with the over 300 million guns that are out in circulation, illegally or legally, in this country, the best way to solve this is to teach the people that are the quote-unquote the adults in the room how to aim and shoot and stop other kids from potentially doing something else. Now,
yeah, but
the shooting
isn't
that you talked
part of
about.
Training to protect yourself? Isn't that part of life to protect yourself first? Is me before you?
Part of life is to make sure that there is no need for that to happen. The reasoning is you teach somebody how to, as for those that are into martial arts, you're taught martial arts and karate, and the main thing that they tell you is you learn karate. Why? So you don't have to use it. It's one thing if you're taught how to use a weapon and you're not going to use it or to make sure you don't have to use it, but to actually go ahead and say that the only way that we're going to stop a 14-year-old from actually losing his mind in a school and shooting everybody in the building. It's to arm the students, arm the people that are there to actually teach the kids there and potentially use that same training on said students. That is not a solution. What the bigger issue is trying to find out what is going on and take out the symptoms before they become the problem. And the symptoms show themselves: bullying, low self-esteem, that kind of thing happens in schools a lot. And then when we gloss those over, and then we treat those kids like they don't matter, they don't care, especially on social media, what ends up happening? What happened in California with this kid who killed two kids and then shot and killed himself on his own birthday because of a breakup over a girlfriend? We just also had another case of a teenager who, like, we remember a while back we had a story of a teenager being implicated in her boyfriend killing himself. We had another case of this happening in the courts where we had another teenager egg on her boyfriend and sent something like 70,000 text messages between the two of them, and the majority of them were, "Go kill yourself. Why don't you go ahead and do it?"
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Let's
These
not also
are the
forget
kinds of
that
issues
case, John
Blackside,
with the case where the kid was also, their parents were going through a divorce and he killed himself. So let's not forget about when problems are going on in the home. I think these kids look to social media for attention, that they're not possibly getting
attention,
at home
but,
and so forth.
Exactly. That's not the right attention. We all agree on this, that this is not the right way to get attention.
Well, unfortunately.
Hot Rod, if I was to tell you every day that you come to work, you look so great, would you like that attention? How would you feel? How would that make you feel?
This is a Hot Rod. What do you expect?
Exactly. Think about that. Seriously.
That's my point. That's my point. So if they're getting that attention, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. A lot of people would like that. Yes, a lot of people would love that attention. Me, personally, you know me, I don't care. But a lot of people would love to hear that.
No, but you know what happens? A lot of that, especially a lot of these young people these days, there are some parents, and I'm not saying all parents. You know, it depends on the culture of where the parents of the parents where they come from, of their national origin. Like, if a child is quiet, okay, let's just say the child is quiet. Oh well, that's the way he or she is. They don't really talk. They don't really talk to me much. And as any right-thinking parent would immediately say, is there something troubling you? Do you want to talk about it? No. Or they just sit there silently, or they run to the video games, or they're sitting at their computer screen and never move. There's something going on there that you're not seeing. You understand? So that's the
not necessarily. Normal, like you just said, some kids just like to be left alone. They like the phone. My kids are that way. I understand, like me, K-Doll, by the culture, and you know what? We say that all the time. Like, if my son is quiet for 5 minutes, I'm scared. So that means he's doing something wrong. I know that.
That's what I'm saying. Because you know what? It's like some parents will be like, why is my kid always quiet? My kid doesn't even talk to me. Because I've spoken to people who have children. They're like, they would immediately detect something like, my kid doesn't even want to communicate with me. Like, is there something wrong? Do you want to talk to me? Or, hello, how was your day? Mute, you know?
I think in a lot of these things, we're missing self-esteem. I don't think we talk to our kids about having self-esteem. I don't think we talk to the kids about, when you're being bullied, what to do, what actions to take other than shooting someone, what actions you need to take on yourself. And I mean, listen, I've been bullied when I was growing up, especially for being light-skinned. I didn't give a damn. Keep talking. It didn't bother me. I don't know.
Everybody handles it differently.
But that's my point that I'm making.
Yeah, because it's like I said, I was bullied for being a skinny little kid, and it's like, it was What, hey,
Kendall,
my
what
girl
are you talking about? Sean and I, we still bully you to this day. Please, we bully you every day. There's nothing new.
I still bully you. We still bully you to this day.
No. But, okay, all right. Back, they didn't know this story. Back in our high school days, our high school was one of the first high schools in Brooklyn to get metal detectors. And we were, like, jumping for joy. Like, we had the baddest kids in school back then. Do you think more and more schools need metal detectors, or does it make a difference? Sean?
I think metal detectors are... I don't think it's as much of it making a difference as much as it is a way of life, especially today, where you have the quote-unquote inconvenience of going to the airport having to go through the metal detectors. If you go to a courthouse or if you have jury duty, you got to take your belt off, you got to take your rings off, you got to take your wallet out, take your watch. Those kinds of things are a necessity now. And the necessity becomes a regular way of life so that you can just kind of skirt that over. It's one thing if you said that the metal detectors were a deterrent. Initially, probably when it first happened, yes. But everything is normalized now. So everybody expects metal detectors in schools and at the airport and when you get on a train or et cetera. So we expect that kind of thing. But part of it also is the fact that we're in a generation now where kids and teenagers are constantly seeking validation for everything that they do. We're in
right.
a society that wants to get
mm-hmm.
a trophy for this. They want to have credit for that. They want to get as many likes as possible on a post. They want to have as many friends as humanly possible, friends that they probably will never meet in life. And it's this kind of instant gratification and vindication for everything that they do that when it does not happen, their self-worth for themselves is judged on likes and thumbs-ups and okay signs and emojis, et cetera. And when we're in this space where everybody thinks that they need to be validated for it, when they don't, this is when you get the Dylan Roofs of the world and you get the guys that go into buildings and shoot up schools and the ones that go ahead and blow up buildings because of those kinds of things that weren't initially validated at an earlier age, that weren't done in a timely fashion and at a deep enough level for it to actually work for them. Those are the ones that we are seeing that are going out and doing these kinds of behaviors, and this cycle will continue unless it gets taken care of on a realistic, serious level, not just to pander to whoever they think they can pander it to as a talking point, but on a serious level that shows that they really care. And then at that level, maybe something can work.
Okay. K-Dog?
Well, all I got to say is this, is that as parents, see, I'm not a parent, but however, parents, just watch your children. Talk to your children, raise your children. But unfortunately, in this generation, like you said earlier before about younger parents, you could have a relationship with your children. It shouldn't be, oh, well, I'm my child's friend. There's no friend in parenting. You're the parent, all right? You're the one that has the right to be raising your children. So that's all you got to do. Just raise your children.
I just want to bring the next topic up because topic/awareness, because you don't hear about this on the news or on social media too much. But talk about parenting and kids. Ladies and gentlemen, in case you haven't heard, this human trafficking is becoming very serious and you don't hear too much about it, especially against young black women. There was a big arrest in Atlanta, Georgia, of 15 Uber drivers connected with human trafficking. And it's like, wow, even our own black people are using us, their own, for human trafficking, whether it's for sex or for organs, human trafficking is very big, especially in the United States. Sean, were you shocked to hear about this type of news?
I'm not shocked because it happens there are so many things that happen in this world, especially in this country as well, that don't get the proper attention, because in a lot of instances there's a lot of nonsense and noise that go on. Human trafficking is something that I definitely know is a humanitarian problem, because most people don't look at it, especially when you hear about human trafficking happening with people that have darker skin than most people.
I know it was big around the world. I think I'm more shocked to hear how huge it is in the United States today.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, I'm really not surprised, and the reason why I say that is because living in a big media area, we tend to hear, like when you hear about New York, California, Miami, et cetera, so those places, they have different news cycles where you'll hear about politics, you'll hear about taxes, you'll hear about fraud, et cetera, et cetera. You won't hear about the kidnapped African American girl or the drug mule Hispanic person that may have been kidnapped, or the teenager that was pulled up off the streets that was homeless is now a drug mule. You don't hear about that stuff in the news as much. You might actually hear about it in certain areas in the South where the news cycle might be different, but it's not a surprise that this kind of thing goes on, because there are a lot of things that happen in the dark. It's just that there aren't enough flashlights to showcase it.
But I just find it funny that we got more news about Popeye's chicken compared to human trafficking. My Popeye's chicken may be great. It may be good, but it's really killing us compared to human trafficking, you know?
Yeah. Like I said, the foolishness that goes on in the media where they take certain stories and they run that into the ground. And we hear about so many people, chicken sandwiches, people getting stabbed online for a sandwich, people getting into fights over a sandwich.
Stupid. It's the stupidity
where
we of
see
it.
So
it's just
many
plain stupid
different things that are much more important to bring to light, to talk
exactly
about. And those are the things that don't get highlighted enough. And this is one of the reasons why I'm glad we do this show, is because there are a lot of times that we bring up things that the media either might have touched on briefly or they didn't talk about at all. Where we talk about every week, the prerequisite, what the hell is going on in Flint, Michigan with their drinking water? Same thing that's been going on in Newark, New Jersey with the drinking water. What's going on with those kinds of things? They don't get highlighted in the media until, in a lot of instances, we bring it up on this show.
It never does.
Oh.
When I was looking into it the other day, it was like 4 million victims of human trafficking globally.
I'm sorry. Repeat that number again?
4 million?
4 million.
Globally. That's still a lot. And don't forget there's some cases that are unaccounted for. And the cases that are accounted for is, let's say, like top states. We've always heard, I'm sure you guys have heard, like Detroit, Michigan being high with a lot of missing girls and things like that. They have like 383 cases. These are cases that are known. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
California has the most, pretty much 16,000 plus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, places like Georgia, Nevada, Illinois.
I think California has the most homeless people, like the most homeless people in the state. I believe
do they?
Too. I believe also. Well, with all the fires and everything, who knows?
Who knows? I don't know. Yeah. Illinois, Nevada, North Carolina. You just had a guy that actually beat a human trafficking case and bragged about it. So, did you do it or didn't you do it?
And
this was 3 days ago.
And there was a video posted on social media I saw last week in a Dollar Tree store in broad daylight. A man tried to snatch a teenager from her mother right in the store, trying to get out. Imagine that. You try and buy stuff, and some guy trying to snatch your door in the store, not outside, in the store.
I'll give you another story. I saw a video that a friend of mine showed me just a couple of days ago of a guy in a, I think it was in a store, where he was walking up to what looked like a 9-10-year-old girl. She was near, I guess, a bunch of greeting cards, and he was walking around basically rubbing up against the girl.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
that was sick.
And then he's looking up to see if anybody could see him. He saw the security camera, and he did it again.
He didn't care.
He didn't even care. He walked up to the girl, basically rubbed his crotch all over the girl, and the girl, you know, figuring you're in a crowded mall or a crowded store, you figure somebody bumps
you. She didn't think about it.
Hey, whatever. You don't think much of it until it happens again. And it happened again. And then the duration of it got a little bit longer before the video cut off. This is the kind of craziness that's going on when we're talking about in relation to children and some of the things that go on that don't get addressed as much.
But, once again, we're too busy fighting about chemical chicken.
A damn chicken.
Who cares about the damn chicken? There's more important things to think about than them stupid chicken sandwich.
And it also does. It goes back to I know you guys know when we were younger, a lot of kids were getting just snatched off the streets and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But parents were telling you what to do if a stranger walks up to you and things like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And like my mom gave us a password to say. So me myself, I actually almost got kidnapped, but I knew what to do. Automatically knew what to do when the guy was calling me into the car and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also about making your kids aware of these things, because these things can happen to anyone.
Anytime. And I've seen projects on social media where the guys go to the playground and they told the parent, I bet you I could take your child away from you. And, you know, the parent like, no, you can't do that. And within 3 minutes, the kids start walking away with the stranger. Within 3 minutes, their parents was in disbelief.
Yes.
You know.
It does happen.
Talk about this. Yes, on to our last topic, talk about disbelief. Social media is going crazy about Julia Roberts and Harriet Truman. Oh, God, excuse me. Sean Black.
He's sober.
Why
that's the reason why he signs away.
I know.
That's the issue.
Well, what's the big story about Harriet Truman?
Okay. We'll bring this in there. For those that are looking forward to this movie, I plan on seeing the movie either this weekend or sometime. But the screenwriter for the movie Harriet, his name is Gregory Allen Howard. He has been pitching this movie to Hollywood for at least 25 years. And he, in an interview, basically stated that in the process of him pitching this movie, they were figuring who was going to be able to play Harriet Tubman. And one of the screenwriters or producers that he actually walked up to and had this discussion with said, why don't we use Julia Roberts? The last time I checked, Julia Roberts wasn't black. And in any event, it was informed to this guy that, you know, Julia Roberts cannot play this part. This person decided to come back and tell Mr. Howard, we can't have her in there. He says, it was so long ago, talking about Harriet Tubman. No one will know the difference if Julia Roberts was to play the part. This is the blatant BS that has been going on in Hollywood since its inception, and it continues today, the continued whitewashing of parts. We've seen white men in Hollywood play Native Americans. We've seen them play black people in blackface. We've seen people that are misappropriate other races. Tom Cruise in The Last Samurai was supposed to be a Japanese samurai, and he's as white as the new driven snow. So these are the kinds of examples that continue to happen in Hollywood and has been going on forever.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought it was you, K-Dog, because I know you love this type of topic. What do you think overall?
Well, it's been going on for years. It's not – this hasn't been happening just in 2019. I mean, let's go back to the history of the cinema. where there have been many roles that should have gone to blacks, that should have gone to people of color, that should have gone to anybody. But you know what it is? It's like this. Like, for example, Cleopatra. Who did they have star as Cleopatra? Elizabeth Taylor. Who did they have star as Egyptians? You know, you see, like Sean said, Native Americans, always white actors. When you have a Egyptian queen, they pick a white actress. Time and time again, we see the whitewashing of Hollywood. It's been going on for, I mean, some, like I said, the beginning of cinema. And like I said, we still have a long way to go in Hollywood.
Long way to go, but why? I like to know, what was this person's mind when he picked Julia Roberts? Like, out of all the white,
you know what
ladies,
he said?
Why Julia?
It was money.
What?
Because in his mind, he didn't think that the movie would have sold at all. Now, mind you, this is 94,
mm-hmm.
shortly after the whole Pretty Woman
mm-hmm.
movies coming out, and this is around the time when Julia Roberts was like the most bankable woman in Hollywood at the time. In the eyes of that particular producer, screenwriter, whatever, he thought that Julia Roberts playing a black woman made much more sense, because that would be the only way that you could sell this film. Forget about the historical part of why the movie was important to make and how important it was to have the story told. All that particular person thought about was money. Exactly what Hollywood always thinks about when things go down the toilet. Let's try and make money.
Yeah, but is the point of making a movie?
Who would you put in front of the camera?
But is the point of making a movie is to make money? So you go what's best for business?
That's not what's best for
business,
because no one will see it. They will spend the money on something
mm-hmm.
that will not be authentic to the role and will eventually lose you money in the long run. Remember, if Hollywood is looking for authenticity, authenticity will usually get you the money you're looking for. And if you actually just urinate on the source material and the potential people that will go to see it, that will eventually be a detriment to you making that money. And that's why that's the disingenuous instance from what that person said. And we said before, this had gone on at the time from this writing 25 years before the movie was finally made and released. So think of all of the other garbage that happened prior to this actually being made until we finally got the movie that was made. Think about that.
But this statement, all of this happened 25 years ago, right, give or take, right? That happened,
yeah,
like
94.
Recently, right? Okay, but
mm-hmm.
the mindset was different back then compared to now. If it happened now, then I understand, like, this executive was completely wrong.
So it's a few things
ago,
that's a difference from 25 years ago. Also, when this was said, the next person was Loretta Devine that they wanted to have in it, but she was doing Waiting to Exhale at the time. So who were some of your actresses that could have actually played it? Because I think if you're being funny about things, how could Halle Berry? She looks nothing like Harriet Tubman. That's another thing
mm-hmm.
with what they're going to say, a mixed woman.
Viola
to play.
Was actually attached to the movie at one point as well.
Right. This is what I'm saying. They had a few dark-skinned women who
mm-hmm.
they wanted to play. And whatever the case
Angela
was.
Angela Bassett, maybe?
Let me know when you finish with the list, because none of that matters to a white person who has all the rights to the movie, and this
mm-hmm.
black director does not have what they call final cut.
Mm-hmm.
So I listened to something that Lena Wyatt, who's doing Queen and Slim, was explaining on
yes.
what final cut means. Someone came to her, and he's white, and told her, I have an idea for a movie, she said. He told her the idea briefly, and he said, but I can't do it. She said, but I can. So
mm-hmm.
he automatically told her, you know, bits and pieces, and she turned it into what was her movie. The first thing a white person says is, oh, so this is like the black Bonnie and Clyde. She said, no, it has nothing to do with Bonnie and Clyde. This is based on how black people have to, what they have to deal with day to day and so forth. But one thing that she said, what she had was what was called final cut, meaning she has the rights to everything. She scripted this, directed this, produced this. She can tell it how she wants to tell it without someone else with money and power from Hollywood coming in and saying, oh, no, you need to take this out. You need to edit that. You need to do this. Nope. All her money, all her funds. And what she said is a lot of, especially black directors, need to start doing that. Start getting your own funds so that they can't tell you no.
And that shows you how important to Tyler Perry and his studios are.
Thank you.
Yes,
it
is. Hollywood, because
yes,
he
it is.
Gives all, complete autonomy to whoever would be writing scripts, movies, etc., and letting
right.
them completely lay down every part of the movie that they need.
Right.
Yes, they do. And Tyler Perry set the tone for it, man. And I congratulate him on what he's doing for himself in Hollywood, because you know what? Tyler Perry did not sit down and complain. Tyler Perry is doing exactly what needs to be done in film. Take charge.
And one thing
and
about this,
just...
Harry.
Go ahead, lady.
Go ahead.
You guys can finish.
Go ahead, Sean.
Well, what I was going to say is this is also not unique to just Hollywood. This happens in the music industry as well, because I watched a talk show probably about a week ago. And Tisha Campbell, who we all know from Martin fame, her parents were singers. They were part of a music group. And she told a story of how her mother, who was a singer, part of a singing group, was kind of like a backup singer. And they had a white group of singers that obviously, from what was explained, they weren't able to hit the same tones and notes in the song. So what they did was they had Tisha Campbell's mother and the rest of her group backstage singing the song while the white group would lip sync on stage and get the credit for the song. So it's the same kind of thought process in that quote-unquote whitewashing, so to speak.
But did they get paid for that? Was it their choice to do that?
I'm pretty sure they still got paid, but that's not the point of it.
And
it's
the fact that
they did not get the credit for it.
But you go by the market that brings you the most money, right? Well, like you guys said, in Hollywood, they always cast white actors because they want more money, right? When they did Honeymooners with Sacha the Entertainer and Mike Epps or Omar Epps, for black actors.
Mike Epps, yes.
That movie bombed. Why? Because they're trying to switch the roles. Ralph Kramer, a bus driver, we all know him for being a white guy. They switched to a black. It did not work. Now, maybe that's why Hollywood want to stay with white actors, because they kind of bring in the money. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying other concepts of Hollywood trying to make money. But we all know how powerful money is.
What do you mean Hollywood wants to make money? It's Hollywood's money. That's the point that they're
making.
It's our money, and we're going to tell you how this is going to go down.
Yeah. Well, Hollywood always want more money. If a movie does not make over $100 million now, it's not successful. Go figure about that. And we have another caller, 7244. You're on the air.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
All right.
What's going on?
Hey.
That's great. I think I heard you guys. I just want to leave, a little 2 cents in what the Queen was just speaking about, what you guys were just talking about. Basically saying Hollywood doesn't belong to us. Therefore, it is has been a thing that has been fixated and being prepared with European money. So it is a matter of European standards, Jewish standards, whoever it may be that are running these industries. And, you know, that's something very important to understand. And they understand marketing. They understand that, hell, even the black man favors the white business owner, the black man or woman favors the white business owner far more than they do the black business owner. This is just the dynamics and the makeup of America. So what do we think?
Yeah.
What do we think? You know, we already know the same about white America. They feel the same way. So a lot of times they, you know, the media, they are afraid to, you know, put black faces up. And then a lot of times losing sponsorship, losing support. You know, I'm a pro-black person all day. But, you know, what should we expect, you know, being a part of that type of system or those types of system? Because like the sister said, they're run by white folk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. K-Dog?
It's right, I agree 100% because it's always been that way in Hollywood. I mean, if you look at the history of Hollywood, how many black actors and actresses, you know, did you see in the golden age of Hollywood that actually had better roles? Because a lot of them had to fight for certain roles in film. The only thing they were subject to was to play a maid, a butler, or dance in a movie, and that was it.
And if I can say this, if you fast forward a couple of years ago, what were we talking about? Saying the same thing. I'm getting tired of all these slave movies, 12 Years a Slave, this kind of slave, this type of, it's always, or it's, I'm a Negro with a gun, and I'm going to be chasing, I'm the villain. And that's why when Black Panther came out, it was such a success, because it was such a rarity to see a black man and or woman sharing this space of being victorious or, you know, accomplishing things or, you know, you know, going on. And then this is the type of story we always used to see in the European or the white man, the white woman as saving the day. But it's kind of like a rarity, like you guys just brought. We are always the ones that are, you know, dealt with the struggle or cleaning up some mess.
Yeah. The only women that used to be bankers.
Exactly. Like Bojangling, right. We're dancing around. And like you said, this was the, when we thinking about the first black entertainers, this was the dynamic. And we fast forward today, these entertainers are doing the same thing for these. They're Bojangling, acting like a fool, acting like money, whatever they got to do to get a check. So what has changed? Nothing has changed. Basically, blackface is what we're seeing still being played out.
Yes, we do.
And back to something that you said with marketing, isn't it ironic? It was 25 years ago they wanted this movie, but now Harriet is about to be on one of these bills. I think the $50 bill or something they're about to change.
20.
Isn't it ironic the movie comes out and, you know, I don't know. I'm just
Not ironic as much as it is. It's kind of like synergy, because if you think about it, and Hot Rod and I had this conversation as well. I think a good deal of really rich people did not want to have a black person on their money.
Exactly.
And regardless,
maybe they wanted to know who the black person was, give you the history behind it so you could accept it.
somebody who was freeing slaves is the person that is now being delayed, because remember, this was supposed to go into print this year. It's been delayed until 2026. So keep that in mind.
Hey, I don't know what to say about this. I'm like, I agree with everyone. This is a crazy concept, and it's sad that we still talk about this type of concept. And you know what? This won't be the last. It will still, unfortunately, go on and on until more people like Tyler Perry build their own studios. We need to build our own and, you know, support our own at the same time, too. And when we stop supporting white Hollywood, maybe there might be more changes coming up, but who knows. But with a minute and a half left, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to wish everyone a happy holiday, a happy Thanksgiving. And Sean Black and I will be Friday going out black shopping and fighting with everyone else out there to get their TV.
Not me.
And don't forget your helmet.
Yes, but quickly, we have a minute left. But I got Sean Black earlier. Before Columbus Day, everybody was like, oh, we don't celebrate that day. We killed the Indians, all that stuff. But here we are, going to celebrate. I'm talking about in general, go celebrate Thanksgiving. Now you say, K-Dog, do you find that like an oxymoron how most people will celebrate Thanksgiving but not Columbus Day? even though the holidays is about almost the same meaning.
I don't celebrate either or.
Me neither. Either or.
I just find that ironic that, you know, people going out buying turkeys and everything, but like, wait a minute,
and
do
having
kill the
big
Indians?
Dinners.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong,
and
I am having
big...
a dinner, but I'll be getting drunk that day. But I just find that funny. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much and have a good night.
Good night, y'all.
Peace out. Peace out, everybody. All yours.
Get on. We're going shopping too, okay? Be ready.
Yeah, I'm going to put on my my armor.
All right. Good night, guys.
Later, y'all.